In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The text for our sermon this morning is our second lesson. We continue our readings there from Paul's letter to the Romans. This morning we look at Romans 4, verses 18 to 25. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, a couple of months ago, our church council went through a scriptural study on Christian leadership. Among those lessons, there were included three case studies. We took a look at the particular examples of Stephen, who was stoned to death, and also of the apostles Peter and Paul. What is the benefit of a case study? Well, it gives a clear and simple, plain illustration of the truth that you're trying to get across. In his letter to the Christians in Rome, the Apostle Paul was trying to get across the truth that all are justified by faith alone apart from the works of the law. And that truth that he was imparting by the power of the Holy Spirit is true for both the Jews and the Gentiles. What better example of a case study could we have than one that the Holy Spirit gives? Because the power of the Holy Spirit lies behind it. An earthly case study is simply the giving of an example. The case study that the Holy Spirit presents this morning doesn't only give an example, but by the power of the Holy Spirit in it, that word brings to us the assurance of its validity. And the Holy Spirit, through that same word, also works our trust in the validity of that word. And so, in the words of our text this morning, we have the Holy Spirit's case study for justification by faith. We see, first of all, that God credited Abraham's faith as righteousness. And secondly, these words are written also for us. The congregation in Rome was made up of Christians who were both Jews and Gentiles. For the Jews, the history of Abraham was very familiar. So why did Paul bother to use Abraham as a case study? Isn't it always beneficial to go over and over again the truths of Scripture that we know? It's beneficial for us to review the truths of Scripture. Don't you agree? For the Gentiles who were there, this was all new to them. And they were coming to learn and to know the examples of God's people in the Old Testament Scripture. But in both cases, Abraham is the father of all. The father of God's chosen people. And so, the Apostle Paul used Abraham as a perfect case study for justification. Here's the question. How was Abraham right in God's sight? How was Abraham holy in God's sight? It was not by his works, but his faith was credited to him for righteousness. Abraham trusted that God's promises were true and that God would keep them. Of all the people on earth, of the millions and millions of people on earth, why did God choose Abraham to be the father of his people and the fountainhead for the Savior? By grace. There is no reason that God in Abraham, that God chose him. God didn't look at Abraham and said, he's special, I'll choose him. God simply said, by grace, I will choose this Abram to be the father of my people. And he will be the fountainhead for the Savior of the world. God promised this Abraham that he would see his children and his children's children for generation after generation. That was a pretty big promise. That was a pretty big and interesting promise that God made to Abraham and Sarah, since humanly speaking, they both were well beyond childbearing age. Of Abraham, it says, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb also was dead. So when God made that promise to Abraham, Abraham looked at himself and realized that, humanly speaking, that couldn't be. And yet, he did not waver in his faith that God would keep his promise. And so against all hope, humanly speaking, Abraham had hope and believed that God would give him those children and his Savior from sin. And yet Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. Abraham would be more than merely the biological father of Israel. He would be the spiritual father of all nations, as God the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, would call believers from Jew and Gentile alike. Here is the case study lesson to the Christians in Rome. Whether you were a Jew or a Gentile, your ancestry doesn't matter. You're not justified, declared righteous in God's sight by your works. Abraham believed God, and it, that faith, was credited to him for righteousness. What was Abraham's hope and faith? Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And that promise strengthened Abraham's faith so that he did not waver in unbelief. And this, the Holy Spirit says, is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Here is the bedrock of Abraham's faith. Not faith in the sense of the action of Abraham's believing, but in the sense of what Abraham believed. Abraham's believing is simply the hand that held the promises of God. It is the promise of God that gave the righteousness to that faith. It is the righteousness of the Savior that strengthened his faith. It was the very promise that enabled Abraham to have faith in it and strengthened his faith in it. Abraham's believing only held the promise of God. It is the promise of God, the righteousness of Christ, that is credited to him as his own righteousness. Abraham had Christ's righteousness that he would offer on the cross in the future. And Abraham held that righteousness of Christ through the gift of faith that the Holy Spirit gave to him. Abraham is the Holy Spirit's case study in righteousness, in justification by faith. But the Holy Spirit says these words were written also for us. A case study is only as valuable as the use we make of it. The lesson that it teaches is only as good as my taking it to heart and following it. So again, when we look at the Holy Spirit's case study for justification by faith and realize that these words are written for us, the Holy Spirit is calling to us and moving us also to believe these words of Christ. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised again for our justification. These are the words that Abraham believed. These are the words about Christ that we believed. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. We believe in the Lord or in God who raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's how this scripture fits in with the Trinity season and the Pentecost season. It's because of the work of the Holy Spirit that we believe this, and this is the work of the Trinity. Remember we said last week you have to believe in the true God to have eternal life. Well, it is the true God who delivered over his Son for our sins. It was Jesus, the true God, who was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Our salvation from beginning to end is the work of the triune God. Each and every day, when we fall into our sins of laziness and excuses and disobedience of God's will in our relationship with God and our relationships with one another, there rings in our ears that message. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That is the power of our faith. That is the message that strengthens our faith. Our believing it is simply the hand that holds on to the treasure of our Savior that God has sent us. God has declared that righteousness for all people, whether they believe it or not. But it is through faith that the Spirit works that I appropriate and make what is true for the world, true for me, as the object of my saving faith. You and I were justified with the rest of the world when Jesus rose from the dead. He was raised because of our justification, because God declared the world not guilty. And that righteousness, that justification also is ours when we believe it by the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was raised to life because of our justification. These words of our text fit in beautifully, don't they, with the words of John that we sang this morning in our liturgy? They remind us of the revelation of that truth. We sang the words of John. These words are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. These words of Paul are written for us. God credits Christ's righteousness to us through faith alone. The case studies that we looked at with the council were good examples, but they were more than that because they are God's Word. And God's Word convinces us of its validity, and God's Word gives us faith in its validity. And so, as the Holy Spirit, through the pen of Paul, uses Abraham, we know that he is our example to follow. That it's true that God credited to him his faith for righteousness. And we trust that God credits Christ's righteousness to us also through faith. When Abraham looked at his life, against all human hope and everything that he saw, he still had hope because he believed that God had the power to do what he said he would do. How do you and I feel about our hope of salvation when we look in the mirror? How do we feel about our hope of salvation on the basis of our own works, on the basis of our ancestry? When we look and see how often we fail to stop sinning like we promised God that we're going to do. When you and I look at our lives, it looks like we're pretty dead. When Abraham looked at him and Sarah, he said, there's just no hope that this is going to happen. But he never wavered in unbelief, because he trusted that God had the power to keep his promises. And so when you and I look at our sinful selves, when we look at our miserable lives, when we look at our failures to be what God wants us to be, and it seems as if there's no hope of that salvation that God has promised, still we have hope. We have all hope in that power of the righteousness of Christ that God says is yours through faith. Not because you believe, but because the one in whom you believe is Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen.